There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yay! Yes, it's the summer, summertime, and it's time for the biggest party of the summer, WWE SummerSlam 2023, to be precise. I'm joined by Andrew, who's normally here, and Adam Pacitti.
All right, how's it going?
Oh, a bit different.
Let's see what's thank you. See what's I get happen. That a lot.
I feel bad for saying that now.
A bit weird, a bit unusual, a bit ugly.
No, not at all. Very manly looking at the moment.
Oh, in fact, thank you.
Matthew said the other. Matthew said to him the other day, I'm liking the Brock Lesnar look.
It wasn't my intention.
Hell, I know. It's because the beard's a bit longer, I think.
Yeah, I'm growing it out. It's getting there, isn't it? It's getting less and
more
less
than I could
pubic
do.
By the day.
Oh, it's looking full. It's looking full.
Sides. I mean, I got one of those rollers. You seen those? They are like little microderm or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Little needles. You roll it over your face.
Does it like stimulate?
Not very well, though.
Well, that's all fine, though, because this isn't about growing a beard.
Otherwise, what?
I'd be out of it.
Oh, my pitches are ruined.
No, this is 9 pitches for SummerSlam. If you've never seen this before, we go around in a circle. Adam, then Andrew, then myself, 3 times, and we'll be left with 9 wonderful pitches. But remember the golden rule. It's not what we think's going to happen.
It's what we want to happen.
Whoa!
Cracking it open.
Whoa! Come on, all over your face.
I genuinely thought about downing it and I laughed before I'd even...
Oh, I was hoping you were going to.
Adam,
yeah.
Your first pitch, please.
Right, Kevin and Sammy don't have a match, obviously, because Kevin Owens is injured. There are no tag titles on the line at WWE SummerSlam 2023. I've got an idea where they come to the ring. They say, listen, we are not going to relinquish these titles. When Kevin Owens is fit and healthy once again, we're going to continue our reign as the WWE Tag Team You think you know me. Just like that.
What, Edge?
Edge comes out, right? A thunderous ovation. It's great to see Edge here at WWE SummerSlam 2023.
Yeah, yeah.
He says that this is his final WWE run. We all know that. It's coming to a close sooner rather than later. He's accomplished so much during it, but there's still one thing that he would like to do. He wants one last run with the tag team titles for old time's sake. But he hasn't got a tag team partner, has he? So Kevin and Sammy, they're all baby-facey about it. They're like, oh, man, you've done amazing stuff since you've been back. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for your contributions to WWE. They say they'd be honored to defend their tag team titles as soon as Edge can find a tag team partner. All of a sudden, I hear voices in my head. They talk to me. They understand. Out comes Chad Gable.
No.
Out comes Randy Orton. Randy Orton is back. Edge has a partner. And what did they just say? As soon as you find a partner.
Ooh, that's so nasty.
You've got to play this safe, right? You've got to play this super safe, obviously, with Kevin being hurt at the moment. So he's thrown out of the ring very, very quickly. Sammy takes an absolute beating. Spear, RKO, new tag team champions. One little last nostalgia run for old Edge. And then they drop the titles a little bit later to DIY or something.
Mm. I like it. It's a bit opportunistic of them, which, I mean, come on now. Let's all behave. I really like it. It's a good way of doing multiple different things. And if it happened at the pay-per-view, I'd certainly enjoy it.
So it's very, very good. I like it as well. It gets a yes from me, Adam. Oh, I like... do you know what? I think with Rated RKO as well, do you think there'd be one of those heel teams where people like them so much that people wouldn't really boo them that much either? Do you think people would be behind? I know they've taken the belts off Sammy and Kevin there. which is still a big thing.
Nostalgia is a powerful thing, isn't it? In that people would be happy to see them reunite. And I think that happiness would eclipse the fact that they've just stolen the titles off two big baby faces. Obviously, it can't really go on for very long. But I think it's a nice way of bringing Randy back. I don't really want to see Randy come back and do stuff with Riddle again, if that's the plan. I think it's a bit of a soft reset in some ways. He comes back and he does this thing. It's only going to last like 3 months or so.
Yeah.
But it would be heartwarming and I'd like to see it. And I want to see Randy coming back as a baby face again, personally, because Randy's baby face stuff. And even though this is a sort of heelish thing to do, it's in character.
As you say, the opportunist stuff.
I don't know how soon Kevin's going to be cleared to compete. I don't know if there's been any indication of how long he's going to be away, but this might be an easy way of solving it and having a nice feel-good moment.
Yes. Yeah. And I think Owens would be happy to. He's, I think, famously quite a big Edge fan as well. Or he wears his T-shirt sometimes.
That's enough.
Yeah. It's a good start. Two yeses. Andrew.
Yes.
What's your first one?
Oh, you are looking at my paper.
That's only because I wanted to see how thick the stack was.
Double-sided.
It's double-sided, but it's... The contents within the pitches are pretty thick with two Cs.
Well, that's fair enough then.
So strap in.
Okay.
Because it's time for story time, isn't it? Mm. With Baldy Boy Baby. Are we ready for this? I'm going over to... First of all,
you're the main man on these, aren't you? I see the comments. I've not experienced this in person, I don't think.
Yours was very concise and to the point, and I think people watching prefer that, but I'm taking you for a ride.
All right, God.
I'm taking you for a ride. Right. So, after a few conflicting reports I've seen online regarding the rules, I checked WWE.com's official sort of write up for the tribal combat match, and I didn't realize that they'd put this in there, but it says in that little write up, it's tribal combat where anything goes, but no one can interfere until Jay and Roman's match is over.
Yeah.
So it's just them two one on one. Time for a bit of a fight, and that, isn't it? Mm. So
not really anything goes, is it?
Well, that's what I was thinking as well. It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
There seems to be an emphasis, I think, on the interference occurring after the match. So that's what I'm going to focus on in the pitch, even though it takes me forever to get there. Okay. However, let me set the scene. And this is why, because I got to set the scene. I pitched something similar in another Bloodline segment for an earlier pay-per-view this year. I believe it was the last one in Saudi Arabia for the tag team match.
I remember that. It was highly emotional.
It was. But with the elders having to approve this match type, it seems fitting that they'd have to be here to watch everything play out in this one. So we've got four thrones placed around the ring for the elders. Two for Afra and Sika, with the latter there obviously being Roman's dad, and two for Fatu and Samu, with the former being Jay's dad, also famously, obviously, known as Rikishi. Now, visibly absent from Roman's side are the wise man Paul Heyman and the enforcer Solo Sikoa. So Roman wants to abide by the rules of the match and show respect to his family and the Samoan dynasty. Seemingly, at least, anyway, right? In somewhat of a short ceremony, both Jay and Roman bow to the elders and they engage in a handshake / nose-to-nose moment like the one we saw in SmackDown before they absolutely slaughter one another in this one-on-one affair. After a great show of resiliency on Jay's behalf and a great deal of confidence knocked off the tribal chief's ego, it looks like the Uso finally has Roman's number, hitting a Superman punch, spear, super kick combo to lay Roman out flat, ready for the finishing splash. Now Jay looks over at his father, they both give a subtle nod to one another, and Jay launches himself at Roman, but Reigns manages to catch Jay upon the landing and lock in the guillotine.
Why did he look at his dad? I thought he was going for a stink face. I was like,
I've got this. Dad, this is serious.
Yeah.
Don't say that away. Stink face. No stink face in this one. Anyway, Jay lands a splash, but Roman locks in the guillotine upon the landing. And with all his might and to the surprise of Reigns, Jay rises back up to his feet with Roman still tightly clutched around his neck. But before Jay can capitalize, he succumbs to the maneuver. Roman Reigns retains both the WWE title and the head of the table status. Now, after securing the victory, though, Roman refuses to let the guillotine go, almost as if all the frustration of knowing he came so close to losing everything has finally boiled over. He wants to end this chapter for good. When he does eventually pry himself away from the now lifeless Jay, he looks in the direction of the elders, but instead of being met with congratulatory gestures, the tribal chief is met with nothing but a row of stoic expressions as they sense Reigns' desperation and weakness. I go swallow and breathe. Even Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa, who have made their way to ringside whilst this is all playing out, are taken aback by the Tribal Chief's actions. They're like, you might be going a bit far here, you mentalist. This also adds to Roman's frustration, which now hits full breaking point. He exits the ring and begins to scream at the elders to acknowledge him for who he is, for keeping the family relevant and for launching their name into new heights before grabbing the Ulafala and burying it into the chest of Rikishi.
What?
The Ulafala. The
lay?
Yeah.
Oh, right, is that true? Oh, sorry, right, fair enough. Sorry, that was my own ignorance there.
And he buries it into the chest of Rikishi.
He buries it into his chest? Oh, right.
Dickhead.
Like in a vampire killing sort of way.
He buries it into the chest of Rikishi, asking his uncle to place it around the neck of the tribal chief. Rikishi refuses, though. He does nothing. So Roman tells Rikishi, I'll make you acknowledge me one way or another, you silly man. Roman grabs the steel steps, kind of like what happens there. Do you remember in Hell in a Cell between Roman and Jay?
Yeah, well, I thought your match finish was deliberately echoing Hell in a Cell.
Well, I guess it is. Okay. So Roman grabs the steel steps and throws them into the ring, towering over a defenseless Jay. Reigns lifts the steps high above his head, but before he can bring them crashing down on his cousin's skull, Rikishi dives into the ring to protect his son. Roman shows no remorse, however, as he looks to strike his uncle regardless until Heyman ascends onto the apron in an attempt to console the unhinged, undisputed champion. My tribal chief, you've proved yourself more than worthy of the family title. It may be unwise to do this. Think of the consequences. And met with a brief hesitance, Roman stops for a moment until a sadistic smile quickly washes across his face. Rather than striking his uncle, he lowers the steps and instead calls for his cousin Solo. Sikoa enters the ring, and after a brief stare down between the two, Roman hoists Rikishi up to his feet and orders Solo to Samoan Spike, his own father. Reigns gets in Solo's face and bellows at him to make Rikishi acknowledge who the tribal chief is. And after what seems like some confliction from Solo, Roman turns his back in a very brief moment of frustration. You know when someone like turns their back and like,
God damn it.
Idiot, just do it. And then in that short window, we shockingly see Solo sort of turn his body in a way that say, you're Rikishi, right?
I'm vulnerable now.
You're vulnerable.
Am I facing...
So you're kind of like looking at Roman Reigns here, right? I'm Solo Sikoa,
obviously. You've turned away in frustration.
And he's like, oh. And then in this moment, because I'm facing you at this point, right?
I'm like,
so you can't see.
So you see Solo look at Roman.
Yeah, right? But Roman doesn't see this bit.
Do it. Stink face.
We see Solo turn his body in a way that looks like he's protecting his dad before screaming and raising the Samoan Spike towards the direction of Roman. But that is when Jimmy hits the ring from the crowd, saving his brother and his father from further destruction, right?
But was it going to be further destruction?
Well, that's it. Well,
bloody hell.
We don't know. Managing to escape unscathed, Jimmy unloads all his pent-up aggression on Reigns. Solo heads up the rampway with his eyes fixated on his brother, all whilst the wise man, Paul Heyman, begins to follow from a distance before ultimately realizing he can't outright just leave the tribal chief. It goes from here.
It's slow burns all over the place.
It's slow burn everywhere, you know what I mean?
Triple H, are you using these pictures to sneakily audition for Triple H's creative team? Because although your pictures are always inventive and well thought out and everything, they also operate within a similar framework to Triple H's style of booking, I feel. I think you and Triple H are pretty similar blokes, and I think that you've got I like it. I think that it really matches the tone of how the Bloodline thing's unfolded so far.
Mm.
So I'm gonna give it a yes. Just makes me want to know what happens next. But that's
we'll find out. The next pitch is won't
no,
we?
Because this isn't real. This
no,
isn't
it's real. This is not, it's all playing out
in some parallel universe. Well,
it's all in your head.
Yeah, but by the time the next pitch is, we'll have that's gone.
Who knows? It might still be going.
We'll
see. It might play out exactly like this. Did you think about that?
That's true. It's a yes from me.
Thank you.
It's really good. It's so beat by beat, and so Jack's completely right in the... Well, you say it's so long, but it's quite enthralling throughout, isn't
Thank
it?
You.
It was very easy to pay attention to.
This is what he does, this.
Yeah, he is good,
he's
isn't
like
he?
He's like a story anaconda, just squeezing.
Yeah. Some storyboards wouldn't have gone amiss, to be honest.
No, I'm a visual learner.
Um, yeah, I think it's great. And Jack's so right in saying that it really does fit in. Like, it's the sort of thing that I can just see happening. Like, a lot of these, it's like, they're pretty out there. And if these pitches came true too often, the pay-per-views would be completely nonsensical because there'd be too much stuff happening, wouldn't there? Imagine all this stuff happening, however good it is. But that could literally happen on Sunday. There's really, on Saturday rather, there's so many great visual bits. Like, I love the thrones alongside it.
The blocking's excellent.
Yeah, it is. It's a yes from me. It's an obvious yes from me. It's great.
Thanks.
Well done, Andrew.
Thanks.
My first pitch concerns Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes. But I'm kind of doing the opposite of you, where I'm not lingering on the match too long. I'm going further forwards
over
the next few months. Yeah. Cody wins heroically after a big, mighty struggle, which is probably, I think, what we expect to happen. Mm-hmm. What happens to Cody next remains to be seen, but I suspect he might end up in a feud over the World Heavyweight Championship if Seth's going to lose it over this weekend or not. I don't know. However, I want to focus on Brock, which is where I think you could do something. Ooh. And I've put crazy with a K, K-E-R-A-Z-Y. So let's say an angry Brock is rampaging around backstage at SummerSlam, having lost to Cody. He's like a big, bloodied Viking man, and he's oh so scary. Chairs are a-flying, tables too. He's coming for me.
He's coming for you.
That's right. I don't know what I've done when I wrote this. Adam Pearce tries to calm Brock down, but he takes a big F5. Bwah! Backstage. Triple H even steps in. He's had history with Brock. He has a big stare down. Obviously, we can't get physically involved, but there's a big intense stare down. To no avail, Lesnar stomps off down a corridor with security in hesitant pursuit. He clomps into the parking lot where a speeding limo, it's like Survivor Series 99, takes him out, like Austin. Is it 99 or 98? When Austin got ran over.
Yeah.
A speeding limo's taking him out, and it's Logan Paul's private limo. Hello? With Logan having been seen celebrating in it earlier after his win over Ricochet. Thankfully, Brock is not hurt too badly, but it's enough to take him out of action. But it's enough to take him out of action for a good while, right? He's fine,
isn't it?
Logan immediately starts denying it on social media. I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't even in the limousine. On a future episode of Raw, in a satellite interview from his ranch or his farm. Lesnar, I don't know, his ranch.
Yeah.
He warns Logan that he's coming for him. Obviously, yeah, all the wrestling fans are like, yes, get him. Sometime later, Logan's back on Raw in some sort of self-serving celebratory segment. Maybe he's making his own pitch for early entry into the Hall of Fame or something like that. He's interrupted by a now recovered Lesnar, who chases him up through the crowd, up to a private skybox. Logan's locked himself in. Lesnar starts to break through the glass, and Logan's begging Brock to stop and leave him alone, saying, I'll give you anything you want. Lesnar says, anything. Logan's like emptying cash out of his pockets. He's taking off his watch. And then he says, yes, anything. And Lesnar pauses and smiles or grimaces or whatever he does when he's happy. He smiles, doesn't he? He's quite, what?
Carry on.
What's that? No, he doesn't want that at all. Wait, he wants... Instead, he says, what I want is you versus me, Hell in a Cell.
Ooh.
Quite hilariously, Logan finds himself in a Hell in a Cell match against Brock somewhere down the road at some sort of pay-per-view whenever his and Lesnar's schedules are both free. I've just said because, you know. Lesnar destroys Logan and it's really scary, although the crowd are obviously into it. They've paid very little attention, probably, to Logan's protest. They had nothing to do with the attack at SummerSlam. Protest he has maintained all the while this feud has been built. Eventually, after Brock dominates the majority of the match, with maybe a few deliberate echoes of Undertaker versus Shawn... That's such a wanky pitch. Logan pulls off a crazy elbow drop off the side of the cell through the announce table. He struggles and struggles to get Brock's dead weight back in the ring and makes the cover. One, Brock kicks out instantly and is back on his feet in a rage. F5 and another one. 1, 2, 3, Brock wins. Brock stands with his arms raised while the cell is raised up for medics to get Logan out of there. And the medics all leave, but one medic stays behind with a face mask obscuring his identity. It's a mask. He stands behind Lesnar and hits a big low blow, then gets a chair, loads of chair shots, and gets on the mic and says, the driver of the limousine that night, that was me, lad. It's Grayson Waller. And looked at Adam's face. He was going, I don't know. Oh, that was the end of the pitch. Right, yeah, it's Grayson Waller.
Bloody hell.
Bloody hell.
And what's his motivation for doing this? Just to make a name for himself?
Yes. Which is kind of what he did in NXT. Johnny Gargano was giving like his farewell speech to NXT and Grayson interrupted it and beat him up.
Right.
Just because He's got no class. He's all about notoriety. Mm-hmm. And he's lost a lot of that since he started on SmackDown, partly because he's been injured. So he can't be having, well, recently he's recovered, but he was injured. So they just had these talk show segments with him. But he's lost what made him such like a evil heel.
Okay. Hmm. There's one fatal flaw here.
Okay.
Is that a limo stands no chance against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it would jackknife over it. Yeah.
No, I think it's really good.
It's a bit elaborate.
It is, yeah. I love the fact that you protected Logan Paul so much. Like you said, he's managed to overcome adversity for a brief moment to get Logan set up on the announce table, was it? And he was going to go for something.
He probably hit him with a camera or something.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
You've got to give him something.
It's good, isn't it? Oh, I don't know.
Don't be afraid to say no in these, by the way.
I'm going to say this, right? We talk about, don't we? We talk about these younger stars now wanting to get over what, like, the older generation should be starting to put over the younger generation.
Yeah.
And I think initially when you said Grayson Waller, I was like, anticlimactic. But thinking about it a little bit more,
with Edge, Cena.
If you could get them doing it, because I think Brock now, I love listening to Brock speak on the microphone. I think he's great.
Do you?
Yeah, I think he's funny.
And he gets all high pitched.
Yeah. I love it. And him and Grayson Waller together, I wouldn't be actually opposed to seeing that.
My own issue with my own one is that it's two feuds of a similar tone back to back, chasing Brock chasing this annoying influencer type.
Oh, yeah. I guess that's so, actually.
True. He's a bit like a reverse legend killer, isn't he, Grayson Waller? In that he came up short both times he tried. Does he win this one, right?
Maybe. But then can you have Grayson Waller beat Brock Lesnar?
Well,
maybe,
Logan Paul stood a chance, apparently.
So it's a weird one because the Edge one really annoyed me because Edge went, "You'll never beat me, Grayson." And then he didn't. And then he went, "But you swam with the sharks, kid." I'm like, "Edge, get out. What are you doing?"
Not enough to put him over.
No, respect
you, but no. Yeah. Behave.
Didn't shake my hand hard enough backstage.
It's a soft yes from me.
Okay.
I've got no major faults with it or anything.
It's sprawling. It's, right,
It's a similar thing for me as well. I kind of actually really do want to see Logan and Brock in Hell in a Cell as well. That actually sounds pretty fun.
Does that turn Logan babyface, you reckon, if he wasn't in the limo the whole time?
Brock babyface.
Yeah. Logan did nothing wrong, did he?
I think he's past the point of redemption. I don't think people like him.
My next one is regarding the Gunther versus Drew McIntyre match and the preceding... part of the show, I guess. So Gunther defeats Drew clean following a brutal, hard-hitting encounter. It's obviously going to be a great match, as potential to be match of the night. After the match, Drew goes to shake Gunther's hand and congratulate him for retaining when all of a sudden, boom, Claymore. We got the Drew heel turn, right? Then another. Drew is now a proper bad boy heel. He starts walking up the ramp all angry and nasty and Scottish. so he's leaving. He's looking strong. All of a sudden, out comes Damian Priest. Priest music hits. Hands the referee the briefcase. Priest is cashing in for the Intercontinental title. We are super close to Honky's reign being over here, and Damian is going to take it away from him. However, just before the bell rings and the match commences, he's fortunately attacked by the rest of Imperium, allowing Gunther to escape with the gold.
Ooh.
It's the most vulnerable Gunther has looked during his entire reign. Adds a little bit of peril, which I actually think is really handy as he does close in on Honky Tonk Man's record. You want to believe that he might lose it at some point.
Mm.
And so I don't think that's a bad thing here. Normally, I'd be against making Gunther look weak, rather.
But when it's sporadic, it stands out a lot more.
Yeah.
And peril's a great word.
Yeah.
Peril.
Yeah. Later in the night, Finn Balor defeats Seth Rollins. He is your new world heavyweight champion. I'm sure you can see what's coming here.
No!
Damian Priest comes out, hits the reckoning. He pins Finn, becoming the new world heavyweight champion and leader of the Judgment Day.
Oh!
So he's got the gold. And what I like about it is that I think there's some fun that you can have with the title being taken away from Finn in even less time than it happened last time with the Universal title.
Wow.
I think it turns Finn babyface. Mm-hmm. Well, it definitely turns Finn babyface. They could have a nice little feud and I don't know, Finn can piss off back to NXT or something.
I really like it, especially because at first I was thinking, when you said that, I was hesitant when you said Priest was going to cash in on Gunther because I thought he wouldn't really, I don't like when they act like cashing in on a mid-card things as just as good as, because it's not.
The fact that they teased it this time, they said you can do it for any.
And
weird.
Well, didn't they have Otis or someone using
mid-card? Theory, yeah, to get the US out.
But I'm not a huge fan of it because I think it makes them look like cowards or they've settled for this lower
one. Gunter, though.
But against Gunter's big. But I also like it because it then builds up this expectation that, like, Priest has deferred to Balor. Like, they've obviously had a word and he's not going to count. But then it's all flipped on its head by the end. Yeah, I like it.
Thanks.
I like it a lot as well. There was that little thing on Raw this week with Chad Gable with a 5-minute challenge as well, where Gable actually, like, he outlasted Gunter in that 5-minute thing, but Gunter was like, nah, restart the bell. Like, we got to do this again. And I felt like that gave a little bit of jeopardy there to Gunter actually losing the title. So maybe if we do continue it in that way, having, as you said there, with Drew coming out absolutely hammering him after the match and then having Damian come out, I think you're right in that it would be an interesting thing to see Gunter on the other end of, like, being the one in jeopardy for a change.
I think you need it at this point because it's a once in a lifetime thing, isn't it? To be presented with this situation where the longest intercontinental title reign may be surpassed, you've got to make the most of that. But also, you've got to present that champion with a little bit of vulnerability, just so it's not another match. Like, imagine if it came round and his last match before surpassing the record is against Mansoor or something. No disrespect to Mansoor. You need people to believe that it could happen. They might take it away from us.
Yes.
So I like it a lot. And I think for Gunter as well, I know it's not necessarily all about Gunter in this pitch, but I think Gunter's reign has been great. He's had great matches, but the stories might not necessarily have been there. So it could be a way to, like, push a narrative a little bit as well. And weave things in. I like it.
Sorry for not thinking about Finn there. I'm just not that fussed.
Oh, no, that's all right. I mean, I think he's probably... If he was kicked out at the Judgment Day, it would give him a nice boost of momentum as a vengeful baby face. Yeah. Him versus Dommy Dom or something like that.
Dommy Dom.
It's two yeses.
Thank you.
It's lovely. It's bloody lovely.
Andrew.
Yes?
Top the emotional heartache of last pitch.
We'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. So I'm going over to Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor for the World Heavyweight Championship. As Big Balor said last week, or this week, sorry, even, or last week. No, last week, yep.
Recently.
I'll get there. Recently. Ah, that's a good broad
term there, isn't it? Yeah, I genuinely use it a lot.
As Big Balor said recently, it's the 7-year itch he's been looking to finally have scratched, and my goodness gracious, I definitely want to see this happen at SummerSlam, right? So at some point during the evening, though, of SummerSlam, we get a backstage segment in which Finn and the Judgment Day are interviewed about Balor's title match with Rollins. The interviewer brings up the obvious elephant in the room, Damian's Money in the Bank briefcase, but Priest says he knows how much this match and a win against Seth means to Finn, and he promises that he'd never let the briefcase get in the way of that. The two stablemates hug it out. But as they do, we see Finn's expression turn to one of
you
uncertainty.
You love a secret expression.
Oh, we like the secret expression.
Winks at the camera.
Yeah.
I'm gonna mess him up. That was the coup de grace.
It was beautiful.
Which one of
that was eight on down. Wait,
which one of them's...
Wait, so Finn's looking
to the camera.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The camera's at Finn and Finn's like, ooh, I'm a bit uncertain. I'm up on hearing the words. Mm-hmm. My so-called friend is speaking here. Meows. Mm-hmm. Match time comes and it's a very intense and physical affair. Everything culminates in this moment for Finn Balor, who desperately wants to leave with the championship held high above his head. The Judgment Day are at ringside throughout the entirety of the match. However, after an early attempt at cheap interference from Rhea and Dom to turn the tide, Damian actually steps in to stop them as he and Finn give one another a knowing nod of respect. Commentary sort of get the point across as Damian and Finn both know that after all this time, Balor has to achieve this momentous goal on his own terms. Priest acts much more like a babyface throughout the match, cheering and rallying Finn on throughout the entire bout. Now, after numerous close pinfall attempts and false finishes, both Balor and Rollins are absolutely spent, battered, and beaten. In a huge moment, Finn manages to reverse a superplex attempt from Seth into an avalanche 1916 DDT for a 2.9.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
9999999999999. Unable to put the visionary away, Finn hits a shotgun dropkick into the corner, climbs the top rope for the coup de grace, but misses it as Seth rolls out of the way. Now, as Seth comes down, his knee sort of buckles under the weight of the landing. Seth hits the stomp, but as both men are exhausted, he can't capitalize with the pin.
It's a double down. Oh my God.
Laying on the canvas facing towards Damien, though, we see a dazed Finn. He's clutching at his knee and he's trying to mutter something to Priest. And then it soon becomes more audible to the audience. Cash in. I can't do it, Damien. Whoa. Oh, my knee.
Hang on.
Don't let him take everything from me. Cash in, please. Damien sees the pain in Balor's eyes and voices his stablemate pleads with him for help. After some swift debate with himself, Priest does it. He's got the blessing there from his friend.
Yeah.
He cashes in. He quickly enters the ring and sizes up Rollins. He goes for the South of Heaven, but Rollins reverses it, super kicking Priest in the midsection. The crowd is going Radio Rental Bayek. What's going to happen? Rollins winds up for the stomp, and much like that of WrestleMania 31 with the RKO, as Seth gets the airtime, Priest reverses it on the descent for a huge South of Heaven.
Oh, shut up,
Adam. Priest goes.
How can he hit that?
Because he's cool.
Come on,
he's a demon.
Okay.
He's a priest, after all.
Right.
If you think about it. Priest goes for the cover to win his first ever WWE World title with the blessing of his friend. But as he does, Balor swiftly reveals that his knee was fine all along. He gets up and he grabs Damien from behind, tosses him out of the ring, and pins Seth Rollins for the 1, 2, 3.
This is like Memento.
He's taking the Balor briefcase out of the equation.
Right?
He saved himself. That's really clever.
Finn Balor's pulled off the heist of the century.
At first, I was on a no for a lot of that, I'll be honest, but you've totally redeemed yourself. Because I was like, when Priest got in, I was like, well, you just pin Balor. Balor would like, pin me. Mm. But
no.
He had a plan all along. Yeah. It's a big yes.
Thank you.
My thumb is...
Oh, well.
It's a full yes from me.
Firmly planted upright.
Yes, it is. Proudly.
Good. Thank you.
I thought you were going in the direction that Priest was going to lose and then there's more tension between them. It's like, oh, Priest is annoyed because Balor's essentially cost him his briefcase. I would change one little thing about it. It's the smallest little thing. Rather than him doing it off the leg, I'd have him buckle bomb him on the corner,
just as
a callback to that.
That would have been good.
But it's really great. I love that.
Prefer that to your first one even, and I like that as well. Yeah,
thank
it's brilliant.
You very much.
It's a great follower. this one's not. Well, we'll see. Shayna Baszler versus Ronda Rousey is where I'm going. Shayna beats Ronda in a bad-tempered match with a slightly contentious finish. Maybe Ronda gets the armbar, but Shayna managed to like roll her over. Oh, but it's MMA rules, isn't it?
It is.
Well, she can't do that then. Well, maybe it's some sort of finish, but Ronda still is like the more dominant one and Shayna got a little bit lucky. The following Monday on Raw, Ronda wants a rematch. She's going around backstage saying, hey, I thought that was supposed to be a fight, but you pinned me. This all relied on her being pinned and now I can't. You pinned me with a wrestling move, but you can't pin her. It's MMA rules. You beat me with a lucky fluke, kid. I wasn't tapping.
I was scratching the mat.
Yeah, she doesn't tap or something. It's like a weird stoppage.
Yeah.
God damn it. But in the world I come from, that wouldn't have ended the match. I'd have kept on my armbar until you begged for mercy. Basically, the general point remains the same.
Yeah.
Shane is not around. So Ronda knocks on the door of Adam Pearce. But remember from my previous pitch, Pearce got F5'd by Brock backstage at the show.
He did.
He's not there. It's all interconnected.
Hello?
Instead, the door is answered by William Regal.
Ooh.
He's there. He's in WWE.
Yeah. It's not loud on camera, but...
Hello, I'm just filling in. While our dear Adam Pearce is recovering in the hospital, or as they used to call it around my neck of the woods, the puppet wagon, because they stitch you up in there, you see, much like a puppet or a dummy or some sort of mannequin. I wrote those real words. I wrote that down. Well, what the hell was that? Ronda wants a rematch with Shayna, and Regal's only too happy to oblige because Regal loves violence. He loves seeing this sort of thing. Over the next couple of weeks, he sets up a fight pit between the pair for the next pay-per-view. That show rolls around, and the heel Shayna is accompanied by private security team, helmeted up, walking her to the ring, which is suspicious. I'll give you that.
Helmeted?
Yeah, helmeted. Oh, yeah. No. No, yeah.
Grayson Waller again.
It's back. Fleet of Graysons. The match happens, and Ronda ends up on top, finally getting revenge for Shayna's betrayal, like with a big victory. But then Shayna's security team storm the fight pit and pick Ronda apart like vultures. Regal marches down to the ring on the mic like, stop it this instant. This is outrageous. That's not, I wasn't trying to do an impression. What was that?
This is contagious.
Don't look at it. Yeah. He gets all the way. What were you even doing there, Bush? He gets all the way into the ring and the security team all stop and look at him. He turns to the nearest one and goes, lock the door. And they lock themselves in before continuing the beatdown. Oh. Once Ronda is fully beaten up, the security team helps Shayna to her feet and pose around Regal. And they unmask, revealing themselves to be the members of the new Orlando Fighting Society.
Oh, piss off.
And those members are... And these are all in the current Raw roster, by the way, so it works.
Yeah.
Shayna.
Yep.
Zoe Stark.
Oh.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Sonya Deville.
Okay.
Because she's got the MMA.
She's the fighter. Yeah.
Piper Niven, where's she gone?
Mm.
Yeah. And I've put Tegan Nox, maybe. I feel like she's a natural babyface, but we saw her retain the WCPW Women's Championship in some pretty hardcore circumstances, actually. She was the first ever one, don't you know? And I presented her with the belt, actually.
Did you?
Did I?
Yeah.
I do remember that. It was very special to
you. I remember because you were worried about being so much taller than her and like holding the belt up, or holding her arm up or something when she won the match.
Oh, or like lift her up.
Yeah, like a child. Yeah. That was a great match when she kicked Blair Davenport through the chair. Yeah.
I just thought.
Blair Davenport could be in the group.
What about Cora Jade as well? Because she did the thing where she's
just
like,
Dana Brooke, she's rubbish.
Yeah, well, that's. Fair enough. Yeah.
No, Cora, I think, needs to be on her own for the minute to let her personality shine through more. It's the generation of Jade. Come on. That's her real catchphrase.
What about poor little Chelsea Green?
I think she's more effective on her own as the Karen.
Mm. Yeah, but she's got a belt.
Oh, yeah, they'll have lost that before this pay-per-view.
On Friday.
They'll have lost it to the Cowie Girls or something.
Okay.
That's Katana Chance and Caden Carter. There we go. That was it. Yeah. Oh, the silence is deafening. I looked over and even Joel's smirking away behind the camera.
Who do they feud with?
Everyone.
Just everyone. They're just, yeah.
Yeah, rah.
Why, you sold me, Jack.
I don't know, lads, right? the worst thing is, this feels like the last pitch I wrote. It's not the last pitch, it's the last pitch I wrote.
I can't wait for the last one.
Whereas Andrews are going up, yours just going to continue plummeting.
Yeah.
It's a no from me. It's just a faction that I don't want to see at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
No offense to any of them, because I like them all.
No, it's totally fair.
I agree as well, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
I like the unmasking. That's always fun.
A no from Adam or a no from Ross is pretty standard, but a no from you. That hurts a lot more. He's so nice most of the time.
Like I've just done something bad.
It must have been really crap if you're giving it a no.
I don't want to say that.
You're like who's like the nice one on Strictly Come Dancing? Like the Italian one.
I don't know. Who's the Italian? Gino? No, that's not Gino, is it?
No, he's the chef, isn't he?
Yeah.
You're like the... You're like the Nicole Scherzinger.
Okay.
Of the situation. Whereas Ross / Adam's more of a Simon Cowell.
Okay. I would just rather see Shayna go out on her own rather than be with enough be within a faction. Is that okay? Although that's you could argue that, you know, that like the stuff with the Blackpool Combat Club, they still get to go out and do their own separate thing. But
don't try and help me. It's okay.
Okay.
It's a no.
It's a, yeah, it's a
it's
no
in the
mud.
I'm sorry. Not gonna, that one's, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
What a great visual, though, the unmasking.
Yeah. One by one.
All different parts.
Riga's in the middle going, like Charlie's Angels.
No pop for any of them.
Who's that? Is that Sonia, did that? Right, Adam, your third and final pitch, please.
My third one is regarding the Slim Jim TM Battle Royal.
Is that honestly? No, mm-hmm. No way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a Slim Jim Battle Royal.
No!
Presented by Slim Jim.
Has anyone, because at the time I wrote mine, no one had yet been announced.
Yeah, we've got, I think there are five or six. I've written them down.
Before we get to mine, also in terms of the Battle Royal, I wrote that before I knew any of
them. Okay, right. So the confirmed entrance as of Tuesday, time of recording, so there may be more. This goes out on Wednesday evening. LA Knight, Sheamus, Ciampa, Nakamura, Otis, Gable. They're the ones that are confirmed. But anyone can be in there, right? And it's multi-brand, so...
But the winner of the match is certainly in that first batch, surely.
You would assume wouldn't you? Right, so Omos puts in a dominating performance. Oh. He's chucking fools out left, right, and centre because of his size, which is large. it comes down to a final four of Riddick Moss, Bobby Lashley, Omos, and LA Knight. I'll explain the first two, former Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winners in those two. Omos, who's massive, and LA Knight, who is arguably the hottest act in all of WWE right now. Lashley and Omos, they charge at Omos together. They're looking for a double clothesline.
Lashley and Omos charge at each other.
Sorry, Lashley and Moss.
Lashley and Moss
charge at Omos, double clotheslining him once. Roll back twice.
Oh.
He's staggering to the ropes here. They go for a third. Omos ducks down and he catapults both of the previous armbar winners over the top rope. It's almost an LA Knight. That's right.
Yeah.
LA Knight starts laying in the strikes on Omos. He's trying to lift him, but Omos is too gargantuan to hoist over the top rope because of his size. All of a sudden, Omos catches LA Knight by the throat. Another hand nails him with a two-handed choke slam. His finisher over the top rope to the mat below. Omos, Omos is the winner of the Slim Jim Battle Royal.
I thought we were getting like a Cesaro on Big Show moment, like a heroic, like, wow.
Yeah, everybody wants LA Knight to emerge victorious here. But with the current state of it, some sort of actual prize is needed, some like number one contendership. This is, I don't want LA Knight's big win to be the Slim Jim Battle Royal champion. I think it's crap.
No prize has been announced for the title shot at the moment.
So as the match as it stands right now, it's ultimately meaningless. It feels like the biggest consolation prize possible following another multi-man match in Money in the Bank, where obviously he didn't pick up the win. So I toyed with like adding something about LA Knight grabbing the mic, doing some sort of work shoot post-match promo or trashing ringside area or something like that. But I don't even think it needs it. So because people love to hate WWE. And if they're denied another LA Knight win, they're only going to get behind him more as a result. This isn't the time to do it. That's what I'm saying. That's all it is here. It's not a big pitch. I just don't want LA Knight to win this one because it's crap and who cares.
Yeah. About
winning the Slim Jim Battle Royal, the pops aren't going to go away. If anything, a loss here would make them even louder.
That's clever. That's good.
Then he unmasks.
he was almost
covered in blood. Everyone's covered in blood.
I was going to compare it to Space Invaders, where you got to shoot where it's going to go, not where that's the crowd's expectations and you're one step ahead.
Save that win for something big.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Like the way they got KFC in or something.
Yeah.
It's a yes from me then. Yes. At first it was going to be a no, but you justified it very well.
Thank you.
I think you're absolutely right. It's a yes from me as well. I think if there's no prize on the line at the moment now, and if he did win it, what's he got? Bragging rights for 2 weeks and then we forget about it, don't we? So it's like, yeah. If nothing gets announced for it, absolutely. I think you're right, and I think that should be how it plays out.
Yes. Before we get to I can't read the words themselves. I've noticed it's a short pitch.
It is a very short pitch because I like to, if I've written two really long ones, I like to end with a short one.
It's like an after eight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cigarette after sex.
Yeah, exactly. Which is exactly.
That's the pitch.
I know. almost an LA night.
Covered in chocolate. In the door in your gown.
Okay. Right. My final one
we have fun on these
also revolves around the Battle Royale. And as you both have mentioned there, I said, give that battle royal a bloody stipulation, right? It doesn't have to. It doesn't have one at the moment, so why not up the stakes rather than maybe a lifetime supply of Slim Jims? Make a battle royale in WWE feel bigger than just, like, you know, we get the Royal Rumble. Make it feel like something. Make it feel like something at least.
Death so, to every runner-up.
Death to every
like
runner-up.
Like Battle Royale the movie.
Yeah. Mm. Oh. Ooh.
Slash book.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
I've read the book.
I've seen the movie. The movie's good. The
movie's great. Got the, Takeshi in it, hasn't it?
The book was... Yes, it does. Mm. Or General Lee.
Yeah.
Takeshi was the bad guy, wasn't he? In
Takeshi's castle.
Yeah, Takeshi's actually the one with the big head, I think.
And he's the JA. You're right. Yeah, totally.
General Lee's like the one who's commanding. Able, like, Craig Charles is like, they've got to storm the gates. it's your pitch. Sorry, I was about to stop talking. Oh my god.
It's all right, Jack. So I said the winner automatically gets a shot at their respective brand's mid-card title.
Just on autopilot.
So either the United States Championship or the Intercontinental Championship.
That's a good prize.
I think that would work well in the favour of some of the storylines playing out on TV at the moment too. So I've said, for example, Chad Gable last night on Raw, as I mentioned earlier in the video, went the distance with Gunter and didn't initially get pinned by the IC champion in that five-minute challenge until Gunter demanded the match to be restarted. Mm. So we were teased. We were teased of what could be between a full big blown match between them two, and I really want to see that happen as well again at some point. You've got Sheamus, who's looking to get his hands on Austin Theory again after Pretty Deadly keep getting in the way of things and scuppering his plans to capture the US title. Obviously throw LA Knight in the mix, he's already in the mix anyway, who's looking to capitalize on the reactions he's getting organically from the crowd. There could be something done with Shinsuke, Ciampa, and Reed to further their story. We could even see The Miz return in this, and with the help of Big Bronson Reed, he manages to eliminate Ciampa and Shinsuke, but before perhaps we get a tease of either Bronson or The Miz turning against the other to throw, you know, a little bit of spice, a little bit of seasoning into that big old mixing bowl as well. And basically, I'd just like to see the match have a grander purpose away from just winner wins, has bragging rights, nothing comes of it, job done.
You know, like, it's not an after eight at all, is it? It's a, you'll know this concept, you're Northern, a picky tea.
Oh, you like a picky tea?
Yeah, summer picky tea. Oh, a lot of baking trays.
Chuck everything in the oven, yeah. That was a lovely little, just little
picky tea. Everything,
yeah. And I think I like them all.
Thank you.
Yes from me.
The meat and two veg of it is just give it something to win. Yeah, it's 100% yes.
Yeah.
I, you know what? A lot of the stuff that's there, all those little stories playing out, that's exactly what any kind of battle royal should be.
Mm.
You should see that stuff play out. Yeah. I hope we do see that. But it does need something to win, especially when you know they've just scrapped two planned matches today, but this Slim Jim battle royal is still on the card.
Yeah.
It needs to be something special.
It does.
Yeah.
Mine also concerns the Battle Royal. It's the pitch that I've put most thought into comfortably. A while ago, when it was the Royal Rumble pitches video, I did a weird rumble with the...
I'm not doing it again.
No, it's similar in its ridiculous nature. So I did a rumble where all 30 entrants were... I just hit random article on Wikipedia and just made them the entrance of the Royal Rumble. The winner was trees in Chinese mythology. The use of trees in Chinese mythology.
Literally, I thought you meant with wrestlers there. Anything.
We'd
Department of Social Services.
I let Ross and Andrew like decide the winner, but there was stuff like, I watched it back last night just to remind myself, and it was like, there was a boat which is now owned by the Bremen State Police in Germany. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There were mountains. Was there a mountain?
There was a mountain.
For 30 of those.
Yeah. Yeah, the comments were like nearly, they all liked it for some reason. Yeah, I know. But you like the mountain.
No, I like the trees.
But in the end, the trees won.
I think the trees are the best because the trees can plant their roots in there. And they're not going anywhere, are they?
Who's
going
to get rid of the use of trees in Chinese mythology? Yeah,
exactly. Makes sense.
This is the 20-person battle royal. At the time I wrote this pitch, we didn't know any of the entrants, so I've just made the ultimate summer battle royal. All 20 entrants are people who I feel really thrive in the summertime. Oh, no. Don't be. Number one, Michael Phelps, most successful summer Olympian of all time. A staggering total of 23 gold medals, 3 silvers, and 2 bronze.
That's better than Kurt Angle.
You guys also, bear in mind, you can pick the winner, but keep...
Okay.
Number two, Bryan Adams, of course, the man behind the iconic smash hit Summer of 69.
I thought you meant the wrestler. No.
No. Bryan Adams was born in November 1959, which means that in the summer of 69, he'd have been only 9 years old. Makes the song a bit weird.
What? Is he saying that again?
Okay. He was born in November 1959.
Oh, yeah.
9 years after that is the summer of 69.
I'm trying to think of the lyrics.
My first real six string. Bought it at the five and dime.
Yeah, but he was in love.
Played it till my fingers bled.
He was in love and stuff. It was weird.
Some guys from school had a band. Okay, and we tried Jimmy quit. Joey got married at night.
Whoa! Oh dear.
I can't remember the rest. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Number three, the Pokemon Bulbasaur. He's a plant. Does well in the sun. I could have chosen many different types of grass Pokemon, but I'd say Bulbasaur is the most iconic.
He's the boy.
I think he's number one, isn't he, in the Pokedex?
Yes.
All right. Four and five are Danny and Sandy from Greece. They had a great time that summer at the beach. Obviously, things got a bit tricky once the school year started, but by the following summer, they all had a dance at the carnival and they flew off in that car, didn't they? Six, seven, and eight. The three members of Moldovan pop group Ozone. Famous for their 2004 global summertime hit, Dragon's Day, didn't they? Yeah. You know it?
One of the first memes
was that bloke.
Gary Brolsma. Yeah.
Oh, that's his name.
Yeah. Mm. He popped up on something the other day.
Hey, how's he doing? All right.
Yeah, he's all right. Looks much the same.
Fair enough.
Tried to capitalize on his success.
Oh, yeah,
he did a song called New Numa. Because he hated it at first, and then he came back about 5 years too late, and it was awful.
Well, he's not in this. It's the three lads in the video.
On
the wing of the
plane. Oh, it's just a...
It's a battle royal, though.
Yeah.
Nine, controversial one, potentially, Santa. He's got time off. He probably looks forward to it. 10, the Duke of Wellington. The Battle of Waterloo took place in June 1815, so got to chuck him in there, really. He beat Napoleon, widely regarded as one of the greatest military leaders of all time. Big summer for him, that one. 11, in a similar vein, the British Bulldog, Davy Boy Smith, summer of 92, beat one of the greatest of all time. So he's in here and has the advantage of being an actual wrestler. Number 12, the Summer of Love was a cultural phenomenon centered around the hippie movement, which converged in a particular neighborhood of San Francisco in 1967. I just Googled who is like the most famous hippie, who's the biggest hippie. Janis Joplin was one of the names that got mentioned a lot. Yeah, yeah. The other one was Manson. I'm not putting him in.
Marilyn Manson.
No.
Charlie Manson.
big seed on.
God rest his dead soul.
No. Janice is probably going in, or I thought maybe Shaggy from Scooby-Doo is another famous
hit. That's a great
shout. Neil from The Young Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any of them.
Yeah.
13, the most famous novel ever set in the summer is arguably The Great Gatsby, so I've chucked F. Scott Fitzgerald in there, although I don't know much about his fighting prowess. If Hemingway was in there, that'd be a different story. Next one's a bit personal. The summer between leaving school and going away to uni was a mad... This time I looked over and Joel's stone-faced. He's just sat there. Just the summer between leaving school and going away to uni was just a mad time, wasn't it? Ridiculous amounts of free time on your hands after exams. Everyone's suddenly 18, house parties, going out. And through that absolute mess of a summer, for me, in the year 2011, one song was consistent. So for numbers 14 and 15 in this battle royal are the two members of electronic dance music duo LMFAO.
Oh.
Because Party Rock Anthem was
on. Oh, yeah, of course.
Red Foo and Sky Blue are their names. I can only assume that Sky Blue is the current AEW wrestler, and might I say she hasn't aged a day. You could even argue that she looks better now than she did in her heyday. Number 16 is George Washington. I'm so sad about what
this is 20, right? Not 30.
16. Yeah, it's 20. Okay. George Washington... I thought, what famous days do we have in the summer? Obviously, the 4th of July. I Googled, who is the most American? George Washington. Yeah. Yeah. 17, Kid Rock, all summer long. 18, for many, many years, one of the big British TV cultural events of the summer was Big Brother. So I'm going for the voiceover guy because he was always in work.
And
in
a Geordie as well.
Yeah,
he was fake Geordie, really.
Was he?
I don't know if he was really. Dear 32. It sounded like he was putting it on, didn't it?
That sounded more Sunderlandy.
Yeah, or even maybe even Middlesbrough, going further.
Oh, okay.
It was all going well for him, presumably at a time of year he looked forward to. It's the opposite of the Santa point earlier, because I said he's got time off in the summer, but I was struggling by this point. 19, the shark from Jaws. Apparently Jaws started the phenomenon we now know as the summer blockbuster.
Oh. Ah.
And number 20, A man who appreciates the joy summertime can bring to any location, making even the most exotic destination just that little bit more beautiful. And the Isle of Wight's favourite son.
Go on.
Derek Sandy. He's in. Welcome to the Isle of Wight. And after I wrote this all, I then watched his audition for Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah, big views.
They didn't take him seriously.
No, he was he is a farce.
Oh, come on now.
I was expecting Mungo Jerry.
Is he
in the summertime? No.
Oh, wait.
Is
it bland, isn't it? Is it one?
I thought it was just a bloke.
I thought Will Smith as well, summer. So.
Oh, yeah.
What about Get Lucky by Daft Punk as well? I'm pretty sure that was a summer anthem.
But instead.
That's good. There's a lot there to digest. Could we have a look at the list?
Because I can't remember any you've just said.
No, I don't want to.
Well, it's quite important. You've got a lot of pages. It goes over multiple pages, this. Here we go. That's the majority of your writing here, isn't it? That's 75%.
Is this like the end of your appraisal? You spent most of your time on this bollocks.
We're missing a few. Oh, no, we're not. No, sorry, there's number three. Michael Phelps, Brian Adams, Pokemon Bulbasaur, Danny and Sandy from Greece, Moldovan pop group Ozone, Santa, Duke of Wellington, Davy Boy Smith, Summer of Love as a concept.
No, Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin,
Or Charles Manson or Shaggy.
Or Manson. Yeah. Manson would batter him, wouldn't he? F. Scott Fitzgerald.
He was a little tiny bloke.
Yeah, he was. He didn't do the dirty work, to be fair, did he?
He'd get the people around. He's like Bray Wyatt.
Yeah,
oh my
and then
God.
They all take the masks off.
Don't join in with him.
I'm just saying.
Lumfow, George Washington, Kid Rock. The voiceover of Big Brother, the shark from Jaws. Is Jaws
called Jaws?
I don't know.
Jaws is called Jaws.
I don't think they're actually. It's that bloody. It's him. It's Jaws.
Derek Sandy. One's sticking out to me as an obvious winner here.
What?
Which is the real life shark.
I was thinking, literally also thinking the real life, really? The real life shark.
Flopping about on the canvas.
That's true. I don't know enough about the Duke of Wellington.
He beat Napoleon, though, so, yeah. I mean, that's pretty big.
I think Bulldog should finish second because he did in the 95 Royal Rumble. He thinks he's won.
Oh,
he's up on the corner.
Take it back.
And then Janis Joplin from behind or whoever.
Sandy needs to eliminate Sandy, right? For sure. No, not for the final. She needs to eliminate.
I thought you meant Derek. There's a Sandy off here.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, God, yeah.
No, sorry. Grease Sandy
yeah.
eliminates Grease Danny.
Yeah, that's great looking. Love that. Why are we still...
Brian Adams be 9 years old at this point? Because no one's going to hit a child on live TV.
No, this is when Summer of 69 was a big hit, probably.
Because if he was still 9 years old, no one's going to hit a kid.
Yeah.
Secret, you know,
no, I
hide in the corner somewhere.
I don't think it's Charles Manson would hit a little kid.
Oh, yeah, true.
What has happened?
Or are you trying to recruit him?
What has happened? You brought this to the table, Jack. We're giving this some thought.
I'm still going for Jaws, you know. I know he flopped.
I think Jaws.
But
as
trying
well.
To lift him up, that's going to be a task within itself.
Do you know the names of the three members of the Moldovan pop group Ozone?
No.
Off the top of your head?
And you know what? I really anticipated that question and I was going to write them down and I forgot. I'm fuming now.
Bulbasaur's in with a chance, right?
Yeah,
he's really
he can send it because he's got stun spore, he's got vine whip.
Put his vines around the rope so Yeah, I'm going for Bulbasaur,
and
actually.
Yeah, because Jaws wouldn't be effective against Bulbasaur.
So technically,
I'm going to take Jaws because he's a shark and the rest aren't.
I'm going
as far
for
as I can tell.
This is on land.
True.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But he's got a few minutes in him, hasn't it, to chomp away before he perishes.
Is it a yes or a no?
To what?
A
yes or a no to that match taking place? Yes.
Yeah.
100%, obviously.
Absolutely. Of course. That was... We need to frame that.
Shut up, Andrew.
Don't do that.
Joining in with the big bully over there.
I like it when you do these. I look forward to Rumble season
now. If we go back and watch the Rumble footage, you and Ross were like in ecstasy when I was reading it. What's the next random Wikipedia entry going to be?
It's because it was the first time we'd seen that.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to no sell it at all. I was just curious. So
it's
I should have
like
got louder.
It's not like you've no soul. It's like you've counted it and hit your finisher. And
No, that's not true. I've done nothing. Literally just read them. Do your second one again. That's pretty good.
Thank you for watching this video. This has been 9 pitches for SummerSlam 2023.
Ross will be back next time, you're grand. I'm off.
Loads of content coming out. There'll be when are predictions going out?
When this is published, Thursday, tomorrow.
Mm. Right. And we'll also be doing live reactions.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll also be doing a What Happened That video in the immediate aftermath of SummerSlam. I'm not sure when Ross is back, so we will get WTF moments.
Yeah, it is coming. I've got a chat to. I'm not sure when it's.
Fair enough.
I don't know if it's Sunday.
All that stuff to look forward to and more. The stream can be found at youtube.com/cultaholic/live, I believe.
Yep.
Is the URL. And leave your funny pictures in the comment section down below. Life's a pitch, and then you die. Oh, that's a good.
Wow. Why have we never?
That's really good.
See you later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.